You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition, now 10 minutes before 9 on this Thursday morning. And joining me as usual is WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Okay, Jared, let's begin first at the current production at the Huntington Theater Company at the Calderwood Pavilion.
Yeah, this is called After All the Terrible Things I Do.
Hmm.
This is exactly
title.
And there are lots of terrible things, I should say. This is a New England premiere by A. Ray Pamatmat, and he is an up-and-coming playwright whose works are now beginning to be produced around the around the country. And I should point out that simultaneously, Company One Theater is also presenting his Edith Can Shoot Things and Hit Them. But with the Huntington...
I love these titles.
So do I. At the Huntington Theater Company, this piece, After All the Terrible Things I Do, is you find this young man, Daniel, and he's returned to his hometown, bookstore, from which he has very, very fond memories. And he's interviewing with Linda, the bookstore owner. And they immediately have this great rapport, although when he divulges that he loves the works of Frank O'Hara, the poet, and how he himself is writing a piece based on Frank O'Hara's poems, he discloses that he's gay. And that becomes a bit of an issue for Linda. But there are many twists and turns with this piece, so you begin to understand the nuances of why his being gay resonates with her, because we learn that her son was bullied. This is a piece that really mines the whole the conceptions around bullying. And in fact, in his note in the playbill, Pamatmat writes, there's never been any real analysis of what in our society actually encourages bullying. So what are the justifications for it? When is vengeance allowed? There are great themes that are explored here. And I recently spoke with the artistic director of the Huntington Theater Company, Peter Dubois, who also directs this production, about what really resonated in this piece with him.
This friendship forges, and over the course of the evening, these secrets get revealed, you know, and I think dramatically the tension just starts to dial itself up, and then these secrets get, you know, spilled out into the open.
One of the things I really loved in this piece is it's a two-hander. The two actors are Zachary Booth. You may remember him, actually, as playing Glenn Close's son in Damages, and Tina Chillip, and they have the really astonishing chemistry. It's lovely to see when two actors come together so well on stage.
Okay, and that's After All the Terrible Things I Do, presented by the Huntington Theater Company at the Calderwood Pavilion through June 21st. Next, the Boston Gay Men's Chorus Smile Concert and an upcoming tour to the Middle East.
It's a very interesting time for the Boston Gay Men's Chorus. Their concert this Sunday, June 14th, is at Symphony Hall, just one performance, and it is called Smile, and there's some great Broadway favorites from Cabaret, Sound of Music, Into the Woods, and that's juxtaposed with Madonna, something I think that only the gay men's chorus can do so well. And I recently spoke with them because, you know, it's an interesting time to consider a gay men's chorus. They have been in existence for 33 years now.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
And, you know, there was a time, especially when you begin to speak with some of the singers, where it was one of the only places they could find community, and they could find that they could, as a community, express themselves and
like-mindedness.
But, of course, times have changed as the Supreme Court ruling comes down. Gay marriage is allowed in you know, a number of states here in the country. So the other interesting part of the Boston Gay Men's Chorus is they are about to embark on a tour of the Middle East, which is very unconventional.
Yeah,
it's very interesting, especially so they'll make stops in Istanbul, also a couple of stops in Israel. I should point out they sang the Israeli national anthem recently at the EMK Institute, and it was very, very moving. But they're in Istanbul as part of that country's Gay Pride celebration. They've been celebrating Gay Pride since 2003. It's obviously also kind of a risky maneuver for them because they're not necessarily welcome in this part of the world. In fact, as soon as their tour was announced, there was a lot of dialogue in the Turkish press about how they wouldn't be welcome.
Really?
And there were questions about their venue in Istanbul. But they are very forthright about this. As I mentioned, the Gay Men's Chorus is 33 years old. They've done travels before. They traveled to Europe in a time to Poland when that was not accepted. And yet they say they've always found community. On Open Studio, I also spoke with their baritone Brian Bishop, one of the chorus members, about going on this Middle East tour and why he is not all that worried.
Our presence there is just one way to start to break down a bigger barrier. For me, I mean, whether you know people are concerned about safety or what else going over there, we're an instrument of peace. We're an instrument of hope. We're an instrument of education for people saying it doesn't matter who you love, but the fact that you do love is important.
Okay, so that's the Boston Gay Men's Chorus with Smile, their concert and their upcoming Middle East tour. It'll be interesting to talk with them when they return.
Absolutely.
And Jared, you had the chance to visit a place that I'm hoping to get to soon, and that's the new Whitney Museum.
Yes, this is very, very exciting. The new Whitney Museum of American Art has just opened at the beginning of May in New York City. It moved from uptown downtown to the Meatpacking District, where it fits in beautifully. Right. First of all, just to talk about the building itself, it was designed by Renzo Piano, who we know very well here for the Harvard Art Museums and the Gardner Museum expansion.
Right.
And he has designed this very industrial-looking building that fits the industrial nature of that part of town. You can access it right from the High Line, which, of course, is that right. great park, the elevated park that they turned from the old subway line into a great lengthy park. So you walk into the space first from the outside, from the High Line, winding your way in. And you find a museum that has now doubled its space. There's 13,000 square feet. They have outdoor galleries. One of the things that I really loved about this museum is I started the top floor, working my way down. And when I went from the gallery on the seventh floor to the sixth floor, I had to walk out. I didn't have to, but I did. I walked outside and down, and then back in. Something I think that Renzo Piano is very mindful of is, because he's done so many museums around this country, is how we experience art. Mm. So I had this great experience on that seventh floor gallery. Then I was able to walk outside, sort of cleanse the palate, take a nice look at New York City. One of the great things is that I just seen a Charles Sheeler painting. So then I feel like I'm stepping into a Sheeler painting by looking at this very industrial landscape of the cityscape of New York City. And then I'm ready. I walk back inside and experience a new level of art. Their first show is called America is Hard to See, a title taken from a Robert Frost poem. It's an exhibition of their collection, unprecedented view of their collection from the 1900s to today, 600 works, 400 artists. I just cannot say enough about this museum, including every space you turn is a piece of art unto its own, from the stairwell and these great cascading lights to the elevators, which were designed by an artist who recently passed away. Wow. It's an art experience everywhere.
Well, you know, so much was said about the exterior of the building, and yet the experience is inside the building, actually traveling through it and seeing the art. So that's, you know, really what's important.
And I want to say that the final fundamental thing is often a museum experience can be a little bit dark, especially if you're going into a darker gallery. This is a building that is filled with light.
I noticed that.
I honestly felt lifted, that it celebrates the way you can see art because everything is lighter around you. It's not so heavy.
Do you think Renzo Piano does that? He brings the outside light inside.
Absolutely. I really think he's incredibly cognizant of how we experience and how we should see, how we should experience, how we should move, and certainly light is fundamental to all of that.
All right, the new Whitney, certainly on my agenda in the coming months. And joining me, as he usually does on Thursday morning, WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Thank you so much, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.